Three Packers players were named to the Pro Bowl, but how many were left out in the cold? That's a question we'll ask our guest Paul Noonan of AcmePackingCompany.com. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kervu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about the Pro Bowl, and to do that, we have a guest joining us this morning. We have Paul Noonan of AcmePackingCompany.com. Paul, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you, Brian?
Very good. Thanks for joining us. Paul, in an effort for both myself and our listeners to get to know you, in addition to Acme Packing Company, I believe you also write for some other outlets. Would you care to share those websites and a little about yourself?
Sure. I write a weekly column about the Packers for the Shepherd Express, independent Milwaukee paper. In the baseball season, I write about the Brewers for my own site, Rob Reinicke Stole My Baseball. So that's where you can find my other sports writings.
Very cool. Well, we're glad to have you on the show. We're going to talk a little bit about the Pro Bowl here, and I know it has its flaws. It's somewhat of a popularity contest, and the most deserving players don't always go, and the game itself is kind of a joke. But let's frame this discussion in the world we want to live in, where deserving players go to the Pro Bowl. Paul, among the three Packers voted in, Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, Josh Sitton, were any of those surprises to you?
None of them were really surprises. I thought Aaron Rodgers would make it just based on popularity, and I actually think he is probably justified in making it. I am just a hair surprised that Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, and Carson Palmer all didn't make it ahead of him. I thought you could make an argument, but honestly, just with his overwhelming popularity and the fact that he's had a really good season without any good tools to speak of, is totally justified. And I think everybody who made it is absolutely deserving. Sitton is great. He's probably the best at this position. And, you know, Clay also is excellent. And you can argue him making it basically every year as long as he's healthy.
I don't think there were many surprises, I guess, either. And all these guys are deserving to an extent. Were there any snubs on the Packers roster, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think there were. I think it's actually pretty ridiculous that Mike Daniels didn't make it. I think he's actually the best player at his position outside of J.J. Watt. I think this year you can actually argue he's maybe been better. And he's maybe the most underappreciated player in the league. He really, ever since he's been on the team, he's been one of the premier productive players at his position. And he keeps getting better and better and better, and he's had his finest season. He's just a major disruption defensively. The guy, the game plan around, and I think you can actually argue he's the most valuable defensive player on the team.
Yeah, he's one of those types of players who the statistics can't really, I think, quantify his worthiness, I guess, to be voted to a game like the Pro Bowl. He doesn't put up the big sack numbers, but, I mean, you watch him play, and he's out there, you know, doing the dirty work, stuffing the run just as well as he can rush the passer, and which isn't easy when you're an interior pass rusher as opposed to the guys coming off the edge. I thought maybe Julius Peppers might be a snub, especially when you got a guy like DeMarcus Ware, the Dallas Cowboys. He's only played in 9 games this year, getting in ahead of him. Any thoughts on Peppers?
I do agree with you that Ware is probably a stretch. But I also don't necessarily think Pepper should have made it. He's had a good year, but he also has been exploited a lot in the run game. He's kind of a part-time player too, to some extent. Mm-hmm. Though he showed up every week. But he's, I think last year he was phenomenal. He was definitely one of the defensive MVPs. This year he's been, I think he's actually starting to slow down a little bit. He's definitely on a play-to-play basis. He can be exploited. He can be exploited in coverage if it goes that way. And his pass rush numbers are okay, but I don't even think he's been quite as dominant on a like play-to-play basis on getting hurries and things like that either. You could make an argument that he should have made it, but I don't think he's been one of the premier players in this position this year. He's still good. He's not bad, but he's starting to show his wear a little bit, I think.
I can buy that. Good fodder for discussion, if nothing else. Let's talk about some of the transactions, the roster moves the Packers have made since our last episode of Railbird Central. If we were to go and look at the move of Ty Montgomery on injured reserve, his season is now over, and word is that he'll have surgery next week. What's your level of disappointment with everything that's happened with Ty Montgomery since his injury?
It's pretty huge. I was very excited when they drafted him. I thought he was a very good-looking, very unique talent. I did a piece earlier this year on all the players that are as short as him and weigh as much as him, mm-hmm. and there's only been about four in the modern NFL, the best of which is Anquan Boldin. And he showed, I think, flashes of that early when he played, of like actually just getting short passes and powering through people and making something out of nothing often. And frankly, their offense was at its best when he was on the field. Not that he was like a major contributor, like his numbers weren't great. I think he only averaged like 6 yards a catch, but he was definitely someone you have to account for. And he could get easy yards when they needed them. And I think a lot of things have gone wrong with the passing game, obviously, but just losing that, he was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, I think, when he went out, and then their talent level at wide receiver basically was just Randall Cobb and a bunch of guys. And it's really unfortunate, and that problem seemed really, it just recurred and recurred and recurred. Hopefully surgery fixes it, but if it was a lingering problem going forward, I wouldn't be surprised either, especially with the kind of unique-bodied guy. Sometimes parts break down on those guys when they're playing a position that maybe they shouldn't be playing.
Yeah, I think the Packers made the right choice in shutting him down, especially after suffering two setbacks during the practice where he goes from practicing to not practicing. Unfortunately,
I wish they would have shut him down earlier, actually.
I'm sorry?
Oh, I'm sorry. I wish they would have shut him down a little earlier, how it's gone.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Hopefully he'll be better for next season. But replacing Montgomery on the roster is tight end Andrew Corliss. What kind of impact do you think he can have on this Packers team as they enter the stretch run of the season?
Well, I want to start by saying, before I get into my longer comment, that I don't think Andrew Corliss is actually very good. But
okay,
the Packer wide receiver, receiving core in general, is so bad that he actually might have, a pretty major impact. He's valuable in a part of the field that they haven't been very productive in. He's good over the middle. He's good at making, catches in tight space with people around him, and good overstating things, but he that's what he does. And he might actually open up things on the outside for less talented people like James Jones and maybe Jared Everdarris and maybe Devontae Adams even. We'll see. But he actually does add an element to the offense that's been lacking. He is a better receiver than everybody currently playing other than Randall Cobb, and an upgrade is an upgrade. They've been so bad there, but going from sub-replacement level play to somebody who's at least average is actually a pretty big jump. I think their offense actually will benefit a good amount from it. You might not see it this weekend against a really good defense, but I think they'll actually look better and look more enjoyable, even with all of Andrew Corliss' baggage and lack of hands and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm right there with you in that he is what he is. He's the number two and number three tight end. I don't think you can expect a whole lot more from that. I think he is a reliable receiver. I wonder a little bit about how that knee injury will affect his run blocking, his ability to push off and sustain blocks and things like that. Hopefully the Packers get a boost from him. In other Packers news here, I know long snappers don't get much attention. But they just placed Brett Goode on injured reserve, a guy that's been doing the job for 8 years in 137 consecutive games. Is that concerning when you've got a guy that's been so consistent and now he's missing?
It is concerning. It's always concerning when you lose your long snapper. It's a skill that if you like see guys futzing around on the football field, you'll see guys practicing it. But it's the kind of thing where like a lot of people can throw passes. Not a lot of people can throw passes with precision. And a lot of people can like hike the ball back really fast. But that is a really, really technical skill, and it could actually hurt them. I think Mason Crosby will probably be okay. Like, he's a good kicker. He's reliable. But I think it might actually really show up in the punting game where any little thing throws off Tim Bassey, like, horribly. Like, you usually see, like, one or two 20-yard punts every game. I hope we don't start seeing a three or four if the ball's off and he's got to make adjustments and things like that. So it's a big loss. I don't know who's there to replace him. I don't know if there's guys out there that they can go grab, but everybody's used to their long snapper. And, you know, it's one of those positions where little things can make big differences.
Yeah, they signed a guy, Rick Lovato, a rookie out of Old Dominion. I mean, obviously, I don't think anybody out there is an expert on free agent long snappers, so I'm not going to ask you about him. But yeah, we'll see how he does.
I would say even if he's like the best long snapper in the history of the NFL, that they just found off the waiver wire, it'll still take time to adjust to him, and he probably isn't. So. It could be a factor.
Yeah, fair enough. Paul, it was announced on Monday that Charles Woodson will retire from the NFL after this season. Obviously, he's a guy that meant a lot to the Packers during his time there. I'm just curious, your memories of Charles Woodson and how you'll remember him.
I really, really love Charles Woodson. He's one of my favorite Packers ever. I actually think he's the best defensive player they've ever had. I would actually put him ahead of Reggie White. And I think... My major appreciation for him isn't so much a single play, there's been a lot of them, as he is like the epitome of what makes Dom Capers' defense work, is having one guy who can flex down to basically linebacker and play corner and play safety and just occupy tons of space by himself as a playmaker and everything. I actually think you're seeing that a little bit with Clay Matthews this season, playing inside and outside, and just being a disruptor in like an entire quarter of the field himself, but nobody did it better than Woodson. He made that defense go. He was by far the most important player and most irreplaceable player in it. And it's incredible how good he's been for as long as he's been in the league, and that the Raiders thought he was washed up the first time around. He should be in the conversation for, I think, like best football players ever, just given his longevity and productivity throughout it. No, not a lot of guys play that long at that level at any position. I think on defense, it's especially rare. And he was missed when he was gone, and it took some things got in the way of Nick Collins' neck injury and things like that, but they still really never adequately replaced him.
Yeah, good tribute to him. And, it was remarkable to watch him play from, you know, especially the prime of his career, like 2009, 2010, when they won the Super Bowl. Charles Woodson was everywhere on the defensive side of the football. Paul, as we start to look ahead to this weekend's upcoming game with the Arizona Cardinals, it's maybe probably still a little early for predictions, but just in general, how are you feeling about where this team is going heading into this game?
They catch a little bit of a break with Tyrann Mathieu not playing, who is the best Cardinal defender and excellent, but I'm already kind of on record as saying I think they're probably going to get smoked pretty bad this weekend. I think the Cardinals and Panthers are a cut above everybody else in the league, and that the Packers offense is just not going to be able to move the ball that well on the Cardinal defense. And if they're not going to score points, they're just not going to be in it, because the Cardinals are going to score points. The Packer defense is good, and it is kind of capable of slowing down good offenses. The Cardinals have a great offense. They'll be able to put up some amount of points. And it's anything can happen. You're never more than like a 10-1 underdog in any given NFL game. But if the Packers came out of the victory, I would be super happy and extremely shocked as well.
Well, we'll hope for that, if nothing else. So, Paul, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate it. Appreciate getting your insight on the Pro Bowl and everything else we talked about today. Thanks for coming on, and let's do it again sometime.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right, no problem. Paul Noonan of Acme Packing Company and several other outlets joining us here on a Wednesday morning at Railbird Central. Pinch hitting for our usual Wednesday guest, Nathan Yonke, simply because of the holidays, travel schedules. Nathan wasn't able to join us this morning. Understandable. He joins us so often that we'll allow him to enjoy the holidays regardless. So, happy holidays, Nathan, and thanks to Paul for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, since our last episode, it's been a while because we didn't have an episode on Monday, but wanted to give my own 2 cents to several of the things happening here, including placing Ty Montgomery on injured reserve. I guess I've already said, you know, it's disappointing. I don't know what else, you know, analysis you can have other than just disappointment to the news that the rookie was placed on injured reserve. You wish he would have came back. I mean, the Packers were always kind of hesitant to talk about what was happening while he was rehabbing since his injury originally occurring during a week 6 ball game, I think it was. We're talking October 18th when I think the original ankle sprain occurred. And he twice went from practicing to shutting him down in the interim over the, you know, intervening 2 months since he was placed on injured reserve. And I know even Ty Montgomery, he was asked, and when it first happened, he didn't even want to use the word setback. And I think it was mostly just out of frustration that he didn't want to use it. But I mean, there's no other way to explain it. And then it happens again. And, you know, that would just end up being the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, they shut him down. Hopefully he has surgery, gets it right. He comes back and is ready for next year. He'll be in much better shape in terms of like knowing the offense and having a rapport with Aaron Rodgers and things like that. And hopefully he's just ready to, you know, take the next step in his development and hopefully will be a factor for the Packers starting next season. And that's all you can really hope. In terms of Andrew Corliss, I said it already again. I mean, he is what he is. He's an average NFL tight end. I think when he's healthy, he's a pretty decent blocking tight end. So hopefully, you know, this was an injury that happened to Corliss, tore his MCL back in September. So he's actually gone, you know, about 3 months off now. And so I'm hoping that, you know, with a lot of MCLs, people can return from those in a rather short amount of time. Like Brian Bulaga earlier this season, he sat out, what, 1 full week and came back. So it was probably, you know, 2 weeks total in between injury to returning to action. And, you know, Andrew Corliss has got, you know, 5, 6, 7 times that to recover from his own injury. Hopefully that's allowed him to get enough time to get that strength back. And like I said, yeah, especially with this blocking, I'm worried about when you're pushing off on that leg, on that knee that was injured, you know, how's that going to affect you? Are you going to be able to get the same push off the ground? Is it going to hurt you? Is it going to affect you at all? Things like that. Hopefully there's been enough time elapsed there Andrew Corliss is back to, you know, near 100%. I don't know if he's going to be 100, but hopefully you're as close to 98, 99 as possible. And he can be a reliable receiver for the Packers. Again, not a guy who's going to stretch the field, never has been. We've seen enough from Andrew Corliss by now. He's been with the Packers since 2010. He's not a guy who's going to, you know, stretch the field at all, but hopefully he's the reliable type who can just simply, you know, when you throw him the ball, he's not going to drop it. He hasn't been a guy who's had a lot of drops, I don't think, in his career. Obviously, everybody drops one from time to time. You just want to hope that it happens as few and far between as possible. And I think Corliss has done that, and hopefully he can add that to the Packers. You're probably seeing less of a role for Justin Perillo going forward. He wasn't playing a whole lot. It's possible they still keep him active, and maybe they, when they do want that tight end to who can be a receiver and get downfield a little, maybe they go to him. Maybe it's just a few snaps a game. But that's what the Packers are looking at going forward here. The other big news was the long snapper news. I have never seen Brett Goode in 8 seasons. I don't think Brett Goode has been responsible for a single turnover via snap. Maybe there's been a few of them that have been slightly off center, a little to the right, a little to the left, a little bit high, a little bit low. But, you know, it's been mostly Tim Maste who's been catching them, whether it's been punts or, you know, place kicks as the holder. There's never been a time when Maste couldn't, you know, get to the snap, and still make the punt or still make the placement. It's not like one has ever bounced in front of him or has gone over the head or gone off to the side or whatever. Brett Goode has never been responsible for a turnover, at least from his snapping. I can't say as much about his blocking. There were probably a few times, especially you remember last season with the Green Bay Packers, they were going through a stretch there where they had, what, something like 7 blocks kicked over the course of the whole season between, you know, kicks and punts. Think about that for a second. Just to go off on a little tangent here. How much better do you feel about the Packers' special teams this year and how much improvement they've made just in general, just talking special teams in general? Remember the 7 blocked kicks and punts last year? We haven't seen that this year, and that's a really good thing. In addition to the coverage teams being really good, getting a little bit of spark here and there from Jeff Janis on kick returns, things like that, special teams has really been one of the strengths of this Packers team. It was the best unit on the field last week in Oakland. Special teams perform better than defense and offense. So there's that to go off on a little tangent here. But, you know, I just worry because you take long snapping for granted, and you never know how good you have it until it's gone. And all of a sudden you do have a snap that goes over the punter's head and leads to a turnover at a critical moment in a close game or something like that. And that can be the difference in a ball game. And I'm hoping the Packers found a good one. I'm sure, you know, they kind of always keep their, the guys in the front office, Ted Thompson, I'm sure they don't spend a lot of time on long snappers, but they're always out there keeping their list up to date in terms of who's the best one, just in case. I mean, you always got to keep that just in case list in case a guy tears his ACL like Brett Goode apparently did. And you just got to get a guy on a snap. You know, it just, you got to go get a guy, and you don't have time to bring in 10 guys for tryouts or you don't have time to, they might, if they're, you know, this guy Lovato doesn't work out, they may spend a lot of time on the All-Star Game circuit this upcoming offseason, things like that. But, I mean, that's in the future. They got to get through this season first. And Rick Lovato is the guy, for better or worse. And we'll see how he does starting on Sunday in a big game against the Arizona Cardinals. He's going to be thrown right into the fire in some big games, and he's going to play in a playoff game with very little preparation to go on. So good luck, Rick Lovato. So the Packers Pro Bowl, just giving my own 2 cents. I said it before, you know, I don't really have a problem with the guys who were selected. You can make the argument that Aaron Rodgers, in the midst of one of his worst seasons in the NFL, maybe was not deserving of getting in. But I think you can look at it in other ways, too. You know, there's certain statistics you can point to and be like, well, his passer rating is pretty low this year. His average yards per attempt are pretty low. But then you look at statistics like his touchdown to interception ratio. I think number 2 in the NFL behind only Tom Brady. And when you consider that he's working with a receiving corps minus Jordy Nelson, now minus Ty Montgomery, there's not a whole lot of talent there. It's remarkable sometimes what Aaron Rodgers has been able to accomplish. And I think he is deserving of the Pro Bowl. I have no problem with him or any of these guys. Clay Matthews, it's a testament to him that he's being voted to the Pro Bowl for the first time as an inside linebacker. He's kind of gone through he had a rough game against the Raiders. He went through a stretch there where he had seven games without a sack or something like that. But Clay Matthews is still a supremely talented player who can, you know, impact a ball game in many ways. And the all-out hustle that he displays every game, I think, is his best tribute or his best attribute as a player. And really, really good. Josh Sitton, his third straight Pro Bowl. Congratulations to all these guys. I said before, you know, that the guys who maybe are deserving and didn't get to go, arguably Mike Daniels and Julius Peppers. I think Daniels probably, above all else, he's, you know, the type of guy where statistics just don't show his, you know, deservingness to go to a game like this, just because he does the dirty work. He stuffs the run and does a really good job at it. And as far as interior pass rushers go, it's tough. It's so tough for guys to get any more than like five sacks when you're continually rushing through inside the tackle box. It's the guys with the big sack numbers who are on the edge, who are just simply got to get around the tackle, basically get around the one guy, and that's all you got to do. It's the guys who are, you know, with the tougher job, you know, going through all the trash, got to go through the tackles, the guards, and the center, if not a running back or a tight end, even maybe to get to the QB. That's what Daniels is faced at. That's why he doesn't have big sack numbers, only four in the season. But he, you know, and if we are going to talk statistics, he does have a career high 43 tackles already this year, with still two games to go. So Mike Daniels really deserving. Obviously the Packers thought so when they gave him a $42 million or $41 million contract extension. He's done a good job. And I think Peppers, you can make the argument that Julius Peppers deserves to be in the Pro Bowl. You know, maybe there are reasons in which, you know, he went through long stretches where he doesn't play. He's not a three down player, things like that, that kind of work against him. But, you know, again, when you're talking about guys like DeMarcus Ware, the Cowboys, who's only played in nine games so far this year, there are reasons you might say Peppers is deserving as well. So several alternates. I know fullback John Kuhn is a first alternate. You know, if anybody gets injured or qualifies for the Super Bowl at the fullback position, John Kuhn will be in. Several other alternates: T.J. Lang, Sam Shields, Randall Cobb, James Jones. Sam Shields, I already mentioned him. I forget. You know, those guys are all, you know, second or third alternates for the game, things like that. That'll take a few injuries or things like that for them to play. But anyway, next segment of the show.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday, what you're looking for today is, I think, the team's injury report. They'll release their first injury report of the week on Wednesday evening. And you're looking at a couple players who have, you know, injuries that are concerning. And I think the two players we're looking at are Sam Shields and David Bakhtiari. We're going back two games here with Shields. Injured in the game against the Dallas Cowboys, suffered the concussion, sat out against the Raiders this past week, still in the concussion protocol, according to Mike McCarthy, as of Monday. That was 2 days ago. He's now been more than a week since the initial concussion occurred. Has that been enough time? Has enough time passed for him to come back? We'll see on Wednesday. You would think that, you know, guys who suffer concussions, usually for most of them, you know, they're back by now. So you're kind of hopeful that Sam Shields will be back. I don't want to rush him back by any means if he's not ready. But just anticipating that, you know, we're getting to the point where he should be able to return and they could sure use his services. Obviously, they struggled covering guys like, you know, Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree last week. The job gets no easier against a guy like Larry Fitzgerald, who's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, and the Packers could sure use his services if he is healthy. And same goes for David Bakhtiari, the biggest injury coming out of the game against the Oakland Raiders. Bakhtiari suffered an ankle injury, couldn't return. You know, Don Barclay kind of stepped in reserve and, you know, did okay for the small amount of time Bakhtiari was out. But, you know, how long is Bakhtiari going to be out? We'll see if he practices today. We'll see his status. Was he limited? Was he full? That's what we're looking for on Wednesday. In addition to whoever else is listed on the injury report, linebacker Jayron Elliott couldn't finish the Raiders game. J.C. Treader, I know, was kind of working through some sort of injury, although he did finish the game. We'll see how all these guys are. We'll get an update on them later on Wednesday, and hopefully they're all doing good. We still got, you know, four more days till the next Packers game. This will be the last episode of Railbird Central till on Monday. Obviously, we're not going to have one on Christmas Day, as I'm going to be celebrating with family and things like that. So I guess I'll give a prediction here just because normally I would save it for our Friday episode, but this will be it for a while. Sorry, folks, I'm going to predict the Packers to lose. I wish I could pick them to win, and I'll tell you what, if they do happen to win, if the Packers can get a win on the road against a very good Arizona Cardinals team, I will feel a whole lot better about this team, not just, you know, for the Week 17 game against the Minnesota Vikings, but their chances in the playoffs as well. I will really like the Packers if they can, you know, somehow get a victory. Doesn't even have to be pretty. This is a good team. If you can grind out a victory, a win's a win, and I'll feel a whole lot better about it. Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen. The prediction here for the game on Sunday, we're going to go with Arizona Cardinals 31, Packers 24. We'll see what happens. Anyway. Everybody, folks, enjoy the holidays. On behalf of everybody at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Caribou. Thanks to Paul Noonan and Backby Packing Company for joining us today. We'll see you later, folks. My call to action, as always, if you've not done so already, the one small thing we ask from you, consider it a Christmas or a holiday gift to us. Give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It helps us get word out about the show. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. It's the one small thing we ask in return that you would do. Have a good weekend, folks. Have a good holiday. We'll talk to you on Monday after the Cardinals game. I leave you today with a song called Eudemon by the Steve Kimmock Band on Psy Fidelity Records. Go, Pack, go.